Welcome to Thundercast. Lindsay here with you. And as we power our way towards the business end of the Netball Super League 2025, I've got a podcast packed with international players, homegrown pundits, and TV production, no less. So let's get this show on the road. What a ride it's been so far in the season for Manchester Thunder. Hey, some big wins, but a few tough losses as well. Loads to learn and build on, as no doubt the team have their eyes firmly on a spot in the top four. And hoping to get there and beyond, of course, are Thunder's two internationals, our South African superstars. They're best friends, they live together here in the UK, but on court, they couldn't be further apart. We've got one right down there in the shooting end and the other in defence. It's sublime shooter Elmeré van der Berg. Welcome, Elmeré.
Hello.
Hi, and determined defender Nicola Smith. Welcome to Thundercast.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. It's brilliant to see you both. Now, Elmeré, this is your second season with Manchester Thunder. Nicola, you joined the team for 2025. And I have to say, Nicola, I am intrigued because you were Thunder's only new signing when Karen chose her original 10. Now, I know that's changed since then, but you were coming to Thunder from the team that were the Netball Super League champions in Loughborough Lightning. So what encouraged you to make the move to Manchester Thunder?
I did not come here for Elmeré, just to get that clear. No, I'm joking. It was just, I do like a change of scenery. And so it's no like hard feelings towards Loughborough or anything. It was just like got a good contract year and I was ready for a change. And yeah, happy for the change I made.
And did you speak to Elmeré ahead of making the change? Obviously, you are like really good friends. No?
No, we actually, with the signing window, we're not allowed to like chat to other people about it. The signing happened so fast. Karen phoned me and then it was done. So didn't actually have the opportunity or the time to like chat to Elmeré about it.
This absolutely fascinates me, the window and why players move, the choices that they choose to make. What was the thing that sort of stood out that Karen said to you and you thought, yeah, Manchester Thunder's the team for me?
Well, she kind of explained the team culture for me as well, which I really liked. Karen was just so enthusiastic about me and my development and what she actually can see where she can help me with certain stuff on court. And I was like, okay, well, that's what I want to hear.
And Elmeré, this is your second season. You obviously enjoyed it so much in year one that you came back for the second year. What is it about Manchester itself, Manchester Thunder, that you love?
I'm the type of person, I like to have fun. And when I came to Thunder last year, even the coaches joked with us. And that was, for me, really nice to experience because we had fun, a lot of fun, and we still did really good last year.
And I can tell that you two have fun together. There are quite a few South Africans in the league this year, aren't they? There's Shadeen van der Merwe, of course, who used to play for Thunder. You know Shadeen really well. There's Kanyisa Chiwane. There's Rolene Strutker, Nicole Breer as well. What is it about netball in the UK, do you think, that attracts South African players?
I think for us as South Africans to be able to improve your game and to be able to know how to play against different players, you need to be able to go to Australia or to England or wherever you get the opportunity to go for you to grow your game. Because in South Africa, you don't get that opportunity to play, say, against Jiva Mentor or Yaz Brown. And I will also say, to be the best, you have to train against the best. At university, you play against the same people. Then you go to TNL, that's our league there. You play against the same people. Again, it's like a change of scenery, yeah? And we play against England, actually. So because most of the England players are like, they are signed here. So to be exposed to train against or play against them for 6 months of the year really improves our team back home as well.
Right, let's talk about the season. We're getting towards the business end now, aren't we, where you're really pushing for that top four finish. The games that you've still got to play, what kind of things are in your mind? Because you've got the likes of Mavericks, haven't you? And you've got Pulse coming up as well.
Two big games coming up. I think we really need to go out with not being scared of playing against them because of what happened the previous times. We need to go out there and play the game that we are good at. And I know we didn't have a start of the season, everyone thought, because we have 4 injuries that we had. Every week someone new came in because someone got injured. If you take all of that, we actually did really good during the season. So yeah, I just think we need to keep on building with what we have now, and we need to be or get more clinical.
Well, look, El Murray, brilliant that you've said that. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because in the Panthers game, I said in commentary that you looked really relaxed because you've talked about it already. You like to have fun. You know, when you were taking the ball, you looked chilled, you looked calm. How has it felt for you this season? Because as you've said there, there have been a number of injuries. There's been an awful lot of combinations for you to try and contend with. You've played at both goal shooter and goal attack with Anya Williams, with Lucy Herdman, with Shannon Malik as well. Week in, week out, we sort of say, there she is, she's the rock, bringing that attacking shooting end together. What's that felt like from the inside for you as a player?
I'm kind of used to it, because when I was at university, I was also the one that pulled all the attacking together for us to be able to do good. So when I'm here, some days it gets frustrating, I won't lie, but it's the situation that we are in. We can't do anything about it. You just need to get on and get up and shoot the balls, because I don't like losing, so I will do anything in my power to win.
And tell me about those big battles. You know, when you play certain teams, are there certain players where you think, right, this week, this is one of my big battles?
I think when we played Panthers this weekend, we had a really good start, and I think we got tired. When we are in that situation, we just need to be able to adapt quicker in that. And against Forest as well, I knew that Jada is actually really good in the air as well, and we need to be able to look out for her flies as well. So I just told Shannon to play down the middle so that she can't get to the fly, so that we can have that easy ball into the circle every time. And that actually worked very well. So I just think it's a matter of keeping communication between each other to get the ball in.
Let's talk about the defense, because El Murray has spoken there about the attack and actually the youth that is in Thunder's attacking end at the moment. But you are playing alongside the likes of Josie Huckle, who is, I think, the only player actually that's over 30 in your team. And obviously nothing to do with age, but she's an experienced player. And you didn't have the easiest run into the season either, because you had those couple of games out with your broken arm, didn't you? How has it been for you settling in with the likes of Josie?
Like you said, I didn't have an easy start, because it's like change of a new team. Need to settle into the new setups and how they play. But then I started with a broken arm, so I couldn't have like the training sessions with him. So it was an easy start on my side. Took a few games. I wouldn't say goal defense is my first position. So I really like had to learn new stuff on my positioning on goal defense and like angles and stuff. Now with Josie shouting there from the back with her loud voice, sometimes I'm like, yes ma'am. But yes, I really do enjoy playing with her, because she's so loud and actually speaking that much with her front defenders. She really did help me a lot settling in. It's nice having a back defender that's actually like helping you when she sees you struggling, like helping you to better yourself.
Yeah, and what a game she had against Panthers as well. Definitely gave her all in that game, didn't she? It was absolutely brilliant. Right, let's talk about the aim then of Manchester Thunder. Currently sitting in that third position in training at the moment, what's the vibe like? You can see the end of the regular season. It's in sight now. What are you aiming for as a team?
I would say to play in the finals and to win. But the vibe in the team is actually quite positive. Even though we're sitting in third position and we actually have a lot of pressure on us to win the rest of the games to be able to remain in the top four, I think it's quite positive, and we're still having fun and we still make jokes and we keep it a bit light. But yeah, I think as the end of season approaches a bit more, we'll get more serious, and I think then we need to be more clinical as well. But you also to remain positive, because there's no use in getting negative now and starting to stress about it.
I would also say, like, we shouldn't overthink it. We know our capabilities as a team and what our aim is. So I think we should still keep it basic and simple and not try and do something different now to try and win suddenly. Or to win all our games. Obviously, we need to win all our games, but try to win on a different way that we actually used to. So, yeah, I would say just stay without hitting the game, stay focused, but like she said, also have the fun side of it and not change.
Brilliant stuff. And all eyes will be on you. Very important games on the way. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of this now though, girls. Okay. So what is the strangest thing you've come across in the UK in terms of culture or traditions? What weird stuff do you think we do?
Yorkshire pudding. I actually really thought it was like a pudding, like ice cream or... I haven't tasted it yet, but I think that, yeah, that's the weirdest thing for me.
It's very much not a dessert, okay? No. You have your Yorkshire pudding with a nice roast on a Sunday. Absolutely beautiful. Bit of gravy as well. No, it's important.
No, it's the great. It gets like soggy.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to eat it quicker. You know, you don't want a soggy bottom on your Yorkshire pudding. You've just got to get through that quicker.
What's another strange... Wow. Your roads, yeah. Like, you drive in one road and then you need to be in this lane because only this lane can turn right. But then 5 meters further on, you can only go straight. So confusing. And your roundabout here as well. If you're in the middle lane, you can't exit. And then, no.
Look, girls, this is the kind of content that we want on the podcast. Yes, we could talk about the netball season. You know, we could really analyse the play that's happening in Manchester Thunder. But let's talk about the motorways. Very important. Look, thank you both so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you a little bit more. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us. It was really fun.
Now, if you're a regular listener to Thundercast, you'll know that I absolutely love the next section of the pod. It's Fanalysis. It's the point where I get to talk to you, the Thunder fans, all about your fan analysis. What you think of the team, the season, what's working, what's not, which songs should be on the matchday playlist and which songs really shouldn't be on that playlist. You name it. We have talked about it in Fanalysis. And how brilliant this time. I'm delighted to welcome not one, not two, but three netball fans to the podcast. And not only that, but they also play for Thunder. Whitworth Thunder netball team, that is. Ladies, welcome to the podcast. Tell us about yourselves.
Hi. Well, my name's Julianne. I play goalkeeper for Whitworth Thunder. And I'd never tire of telling everybody that I am 68 and very proud to still be playing netball.
What a legend you are. Welcome, Julianne.
Thank you.
I'm Leanne and I play goal defence with my fellow goalkeeper in the circle here.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. I play goal attack in the Rosendale League for Whitworth Thunder.
Amazing stuff. And we should shout out to Emily as well. What does Emily play in your team?
Emily plays goal shooter. She's actually out injured at the moment with the snapped Achilles.
Oh, goodness me. Oh, she's having a hard time because we also couldn't quite get her on this recording. How brilliant. She tried to sneak away from work for an hour to record this podcast, which I love the dedication to Thundercast. So massive shout out to Emily and really hope your injury recovers quickly. But wonderful to have you three ladies on. Tell me about Whitworth Thunder. Tell me about your team.
Okay, so we play in the Rosendale League. We play in Division 2. We're doing superb at the moment. We think we're probably top of the league.
Yes,
we're obviously, as a goal defence and a goalkeeper, very keen on the goals against. Don't want any high numbers there. We've been playing together for about 3 or 4 years. Yeah, we absolutely love it. We're just massive, massive netball fans.
That is just incredible, you know, and I love that you keep a track of your own stats. You know, nobody wants those goals against. Nice.
Absolutely not.
And are you pretty competitive? You know, I'm feeling that this is a good team.
Oh, we're very, very competitive.
Super, super competitive.
But really cheering each other on court. Like last night, we had a match last night and... I know we're biased, but everyone across the court played really well. And it's just that encouragement from everybody, like shouting, yeah, well done, or keep your heads up if everyone makes a mistake or anything. So there's that real camaraderie between the team and we just love it and come off buzzing every match.
Yeah. And the score?
43-16.
That's superb. Yeah. Well done in defence. And also those shooters as well. You know, I always think, because I play in the midcourt, so I'm sort of there, you know, doing the engine work. But, oh, the pressure of putting those balls up, you know, very, very impressive. How is it at the shooting end?
It is nerve-wracking. It's like you said, it's the pressure. It's like the whole game stops to watch you get that that ball in that net that they've worked all the way down court to get to you. But when it goes in, it's obviously it's the best feeling, and you're just doing it for your team.
Obviously, you're sharing a pod with Elle Murray, so you know we can link you up, and you can get all that confidence and shooter experience from her. We'll do that after the podcast. Yes, but I should really say, ladies, you know how we met, because you were at the M&S Bank Arena, weren't you, for the arena game in Liverpool where Manchester Thunder beat Birmingham Panthers. And frankly, after the game, I was just eavesdropping your conversation. I just walked past and you were talking about Elle Murray and saying, you know, what an incredible shooter she was. And I just sort of sidled over and we got chatting. How was the arena game for you? What was the experience like?
Oh, it was unreal. Like, everything from start to finish was amazing. I mean, we love all the Thunder matches, but I think the arena matches, they just hit different. Like, the atmosphere that's built, the excitement and seeing all those fans, it's just amazing. And then the atmosphere of the match and seeing that incredible play. And then again, at the end, you get to meet them. They'll stay around and have a chat with you and things like that. And it's just, it's really special. And you come away feeling part of the Thunder family, because they know you, they recognise you from Bellevue, and it's just amazing. It's such a lovely community to be part of. And in those games, yeah, it's amazing.
And Julianne, what do you get from going to watch Thunder? You know, it's clear that you're big netball fans, but do you learn from the games as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you try and watch, like I obviously watched Josie Huckle and keep my eye on her and try and see what the way she plays and try and emulate that.
Well, look, you obviously know Thunder really well. I love that you go as a team, that you play as a team as well, that you train as a team. But this is Fanalysis. The floor is yours. Tell me about Thunder this season. You know, as fans, you've been keeping up with the game. We're getting towards the business end now, aren't we, of the season, and Thunder really need to push on. Like, Lindsay, where do you think the team are at? What would you like to see from them next?
It all felt very new. At the beginning, there was a lot of changes. There's been some injuries. There's new signings. I'll be lying if I said we weren't nervous, like what were we going to see? But I think it's been amazing to watch them progress and bring in the new young players. Have really enjoyed, we were just talking about it before, really enjoyed watching the likes of Shannon Malik and Anya Williams come up through, because we've watched them through the pathway in the next gen, just, and to see them progress and see them further on in the future will just be amazing for me, especially as a fellow shooter. It's just been incredible to see them.
I just love Thunder fans for this as well, because they thoroughly back the team. You know, it's like, we're there, we're with you, let's go, well, let's push for positions one and two. You know, the regular season, what will happen after the regular season in terms of the slightly new format that we've got going into those semi-finals. And let's face it, girls, you know, there's no secret that Thunder have been hit by injury and squad adjustments in 2025, right? And Karen Gregor's had to be so creative, hasn't she? Particularly, actually, what you were talking about in that attacking and shooting end. How much do you think that Thunder's chances have been impacted by the number of sort of changes that have had to be made?
I think they've adapted really well to all the changes, though, and I think they adapt well to change on court. So if they're getting pressured by another team, Karen will make those changes on the court so that they can adapt and go out hunting for the ball, and you'll see that everyone defends and is just on it. So yeah, think that that they do adapt really well, and you see it from getting a turnover at the defensive end, working it all the way through the court to the attacking end, and that movement, everyone, it's like everyone knows where everyone's going to be in that gel. You wouldn't ever think they've not really played together for years and years, because of how well they communicate. And where we sit at Bellevue, we're fortunate enough to be able to hear that communication between the team. So you can tell that they've got that gel and they've got that connections with each other. And it's amazing watching that flow of court and movement and going through all the channels to get it down to where it needs to be.
Thunder want to push, right? They want to push for positions one or two. If not, top four, definitely. Because Loughborough Lightning, London Pulse, looking really good. We've lost to them this season. What do you think we have to do if we want to win? You know, if we want to be champions this year?
Yeah, I think looking at it from bias from a defensive point of view with me and yourself is looking how Loughborough and Pulse have been playing. They're so strong in that defensive end. You've got like the likes of Fumi and Shadeen. They just get straight in there, get that tip, get that turnover, get that rebound. And they're just so strong to get it back down into that attacking end. And I think Thunder have got an amazing defensive side anyway, but I think it's just channeling that yeah. and making that super strong and putting that pressure on the attackers, because there's a lot to be said for putting off a shooter. I think you'll yeah, agree. Yeah. Putting off a shooter with marking and Strong being on the body and things like that, and then just getting that ball and being tough with it. So I think that's something that's to be pushed.
It's always amazing for me when I talk to Karen, because every game I commentate, I try and speak to the head coaches ahead of the game just to see how the week's been and what they're thinking about. And for every single team, no surprise here, she's done the analysis, you know, and she's looked at how Thunder can pick apart those different teams. And one thing that she said to me actually after the Lightning game was that they got a lot of turnover, but then they couldn't hold on to possession to get that to goal. And I think it's those moments, you know, and interpreting all the different teams and the way that they play and making those changes within the game. But we really need to learn through those matches. So the likes of London Pulse and Loughborough Lightning, we're going, okay, that's happening. What can we impact in the moment? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. Because when you can watch a match and you see what's going on in other little pockets, the movement that somebody's doing to free up a space, and you'll see that people aren't afraid of a little pass or a pass back, yeah. that kind of thing, to then keep that possession, to let the team reset, to then get that ball back down to court. There's nothing wrong with passing back and doing little movements around the court just so that you've got that time.
I think that's what we've said a few times after a few matches, how impressed and amazing it has been to watch the ball go around the circle so many times, swing from pocket to pocket, back out, back in, you know, sometimes up to 10 passes before they get it up, from the circle edge back into under the post and make the shot. It's been really good to see.
One of the things that I heard a commentator say, and I don't know whether it was you, Lindsay, it probably was, but you're at your most vulnerable when you do an intercept. So when you get the ball and then, you give it away to someone else, and the young ones are probably more guilty of that because of the lack of experience on court. But Karen is the woman who's going to give them the strength and the confidence and the encouragement to be able to overcome that and eradicate that from the game.
Let's think about the end of the season. What are the biggest challenges facing Thunder?
Well, it's going to be those big two top teams, isn't it? I mean, they're so strong in the gameplay, and I think it's just that. But I think if Thunder keep that mindset of we can do this, because they've done it before, they've beat both the teams before, and just keep pressing on and keep pushing and doing what they do, they can win this, definitely.
And in terms of, let's face it, you're talking about London Pulse and Loughborough Lightning, aren't you? And we know about the strength of Pulse, we know about the number of roses that they've got in there, but Loughborough Lightning, look at their season, ladies, once again, gone under the radar, haven't they? Yeah. And here they are towards the end. And I think, you know, that experience that you were talking about there in terms of the turnover and what to do in those vulnerable moments, they are the team that really know that. So we've got a very short amount of time, haven't we, to sort of implement and come back against them. And if I remember rightly, in Liverpool, you had a little chant because you love Shadeen, right? Van der Merwe. Come on, give me the tones.
Shadeen, Shadeen. Shadeen.
I mean, it's so superb, isn't it?
As well.
She does. We've sang it to her and she loves it.
Just to finish then, give me a highlight of the season so far. What is there a moment or a game that you have absolutely loved? What's been your standout for 2025?
Oh, for me, I think the standout, it wasn't a game, it was the Sheffield friendlies, you know, and we did the full day where everybody played each other. That was just, it was the best day of my life. I can't tell you, it was just amazing to see everybody. That I'll never forget that day. It was amazing. And I can't wait for next season when they do it again.
I'm so pleased you picked that, Julianne, because that was a commentary marathon. You know, we really went for it on that day.
Sure.
Never mind the players and all that work they're doing on court. You know, we really had to be on it. But Super Cup was incredible, and it encourages really to sort of watch every team, didn't it? Yeah, you've got your allegiances, but look at all the players that are out there. Brilliant choice. What about you, Lindsay? What stood out?
Touched on it before with the young players. I really was rooting for these young girls, Anya and Shannon, to make the starting seven, and to see them do that, it's just, they're the same age as my daughter, and it's just been incredible to watch them and thrive. and make such a difference to the team and the score and the match. It's just been lovely to see them.
Great one. And go on then, Leanne.
These are obviously great ones, I think, but just seeing all the new players come on and seeing that amazing play from one end of the court to the other. Obviously, as a defender, I love when you see the defenders come out hunting and they just get that double-handed intercept and then fire it all the way down. Yeah. And then you've got like Amy and Emma getting it straight into the impeccable Elma Ray, who just sinks it every time. I think one of the best things I've seen, I think, did she get like 5 super shots in a row at Bellevue? And she just got in every time and just bang, 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 bang. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. So yeah, a lot of it for me, but those things are standout.
Well, look, that is brilliant. What a place to end as well on a run of super shots. Oh, what do you think of the super shot? Do you love it?
Love it.
Oh, they're strongly in. Of course they are. Well, look, Whitworth Thunder strongly supporting Manchester Thunder. Obviously, shout out to Emily as well. She will be doing her analysis of your performance on the podcast, no doubt. brilliant to have you, you know. And hey, if you fancy coming on Thundercast and doing a bit of analysis, go on, get in touch, come on the pod, talk netball with me. I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram, or you can email hello@a-linemedia.co.uk. All the information is in the show notes. Ladies, brilliant to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Right, let's get into Access All Areas. And this time it's a little bit different because I want to take you behind the scenes on game day and have a look at how Thunder matches are covered on TV. And what a pleasure. Kev is the floor manager who I work with on the BBC Games. It's brilliant to have you on Thundercast. Welcome, Kev.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
It's brilliant to have you. Now, you and I work quite closely together, don't we, on game days, but we are nowhere near each other. Apart from at the beginning and the end, when I do the pieces to camera, I then go off into commentary and you do your thing through the game. Just tell me a little bit about the role of the floor manager. What do you actually do?
Well, my role as floor manager is made very easy by the people around me, to be fair, like people like yourselves. All I have to do is liaise between the venue and the broadcast and make sure that people are in the right position at the right time, whether that be coaches for interviews or yourself for doing a piece to camera before the game or doing the interviews after the game, just making sure that everybody's where they need to be, as well as making sure that the PA systems are nice and low so that everybody can be heard during the interviews. And we do it all through a WhatsApp group, really, which is great because everybody can be spoken to at the same time and all the information gets to where it needs to be as fast as it needs to go.
I think what always amazes me, though, Kev, about the way these TV games are put together is that we really work with a skeleton crew, don't we, when it comes to people actually there in the venue on site. There's yourself floor managing, there's a couple of brilliant camera operators, and there's a guy, well, he's called Danny, actually, who's making sure everything is set up and that all the feeds are working properly for the BBC. But that's it in terms of people actually in the venue. We work with the director, of course, who's looking at all the camera angles, seeing what's coming up next, and we wear talkback so that the gallery can hear us, we can hear them, and the director can tell us sort of what's coming up next, take instruction. But Kev, you and I are nowhere near that director, are we? Where's he?
He's down in, as close as we can describe it, is London. Like you said, so he's a good 200 miles away from us. It's all done remotely. Like I said, I'm just one little cog in a massive team. But like I say, I usually arrive 4 hours before, but there is a team there that get there 6-7 hours sometimes, that run the cables, run the wires, feed the cameras, make sure everything's set up. But like I said, it's all done remotely, so we use a lot of internet, so we've got to make sure we've got good connections and things like that. And then usually 3 hours before centre pass, we do all the testing, make sure that the pictures and the audio and everything's going down to the gallery, which like I said, is down in High Wycombe area. They can get to see what they see. And again, like I said, that I'm really just the movable eyes and ears, really. People that are in fixed positions, and I can dot around the venue and get to where I need to be able to get the production out for people to watch at home.
I love working with you, Kev, because you're always very generous to other people, you know. But actually, the job that you do is key because the game of netball moves so fast, doesn't it? You know, and everything does have to be pretty slick. So when I arrive, we work together, don't we? And the head coaches come along, do a head coach interview before the game, and then we get ready for the top of the show. And you do a lot of cueing as well. So I'm wearing an earpiece, I can hear that director, but I'm actually getting quite a lot of visuals from you as well. And then once that's up and we're running and we're in the game, what's your role then as floor manager? Because for us in commentary, it moves so quickly. What are you doing through that gameplay time?
During the game, I'm liaising with the England netball bench, who were doing all the statistics and the scoring, basically just for any substitutions, really. Any key information that we can get across to the viewers at home, any substitutions, any injuries, just any part and parcel of the game that can enhance the viewing for the viewers.
It really is a team sport. It's also a team production all coming together. What do you think of the game of netball now that you've done a couple of seasons?
The one thing that stands out to me is how it's supposedly a non-contact sport. You know, you see them on the court, and I'm quite a big burly bloke, and I'd struggle to take some of them shoulder barges that come flying in off some of them girls. Like I said, it's brutal to see courtside, and the speed of it is unbelievable. You know, it's end to end. It's fast stuff, and like I said, I'll hold my hand up. I'm amazed at. I'm amazed how good it is. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like I said, the true athletes, it's great. Like I said, I've managed to bring my daughter along to a couple of the Manchester games, and she absolutely loved it. She plays netball at school, and again, from her point of view, she's looked at it and gone, this is nothing like what we play. And like I said, hats off to everybody that plays it. It's great to watch.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it is brilliant to have the TV production side of things because it's what you do day to day. But actually bringing it all together during a game, it is fast, it is furious. And there's a lot riding on you to make sure that we are keeping those links up. Give me a couple of your highlights of the season. What's really stood out for you in the Super League 2025?
Highlights wise, I always enjoy watching Manchester, obviously. You can tell by my accent, they're my local team. So I always have a soft spot for Manchester. But then the way that Loughborough play and the way that London Pulse play, there's some exciting teams in the Netball Super League.
Look at you, Kev. You know the top of the table, don't you? You know positions 1, 2 and 3. Very impressive indeed. Kev, it's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and just opening up a little bit of how production works on game day. Final question to you. If you were saying to someone, you know, come and watch the live netball, what do you think is the best thing about the Super League and being there live in a stadium?
For me, it's the whole effect of it all. You know, like the stadiums or the venues, you know, they all put on a fantastic show. They do a light show. The atmospheres are always great. The atmosphere itself is second to none. I think it helps having the roof on. So yeah, no, like I said, I'd recommend anybody to get down and give it a go, because I'll hold my hands up. Like I said before, it shocked me at how good and how great of a sport it is.
You can, of course, watch every game live across the BBC and Sky Sports for the first time this season. It is wonderful, and they are available on the iPlayer and on YouTube as well if you watch on Sky. So do go back and have a look. Kev, it's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you for opening up your world. When would I see you? Sunday for the game?
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Great stuff. See you at the next game. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
And so we reach the final whistle. And just like this pod, I cannot believe how fast the season has gone so far. Tickets are still available for the last few games of the regular season. Head to the Thunder website to find out more. If Thunder continue to hold third position, they'll be in the minor semi-final on the weekend of the 20th of June, as the semi-final structure has changed a little bit this year. Of course, though, we are aiming for the major semi-final. We shall wait to find out. Thank you so much for listening. This has been an Aligned Media production for Manchester Thunder. I'm off to eat a Yorkshire pudding whilst navigating the A roads of Great Britain. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thundercast was written and presented by Lindsay Chapman and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production.